Hola, ¿qué tal, mi gente? Welcome to another episode here in Season 5. We're talking about movimiento, the movement. I'm your host, Noan El Boricua. And as you may or may not know, if you already know, you know that we are all about cultura, faith y conexiones, or really understanding all the relevant moments in the culture today, how our faith plays a part of it, but more importantly, making the connections that we need to make as people navigating this world, our career, our families, our communities, all of the above, all this to say, at the time of when I originally recorded the intro, this is a present moment. I'm talking kind of future self because you're going to hear a conversation I spoke about as an intro, what we're talking about in season 5 of El Movimiento. And it was really to understand the importance of, there's been a lot that's gone on. I mean, unfortunately, with all of Latino Heritage Month at the time of this season, there's been a lot of things that have come to mind. And I kind of wanted to just give some brief history. And that brief history is that the reason why I think of the word movimiento, movement, it's a verb. It's a action that if you're an athlete, you are looking to movement to give you the advantages that you need to score, to shoot, to swim, whatever that looks like. But I think when I think about movimiento in the context of just history in itself, I think about really some Chicano activists. Now, I'm Puerto Rican, but the beauty of nuestra Latinidad is understanding the different dynamics. And as you will see in this season, the different voices that tell their historia. And I think the one thing that comes to my mind, I think of the 60s, the 1960s. And at the time, you know, I remember watching this episode on the History Channel where it was speaking about the Mexican-American movement and how it became, how it began pushing for this new identification, which they called it the Chicano movement, a.k.a. El Movimiento. And what was it for? Well, for many of us that know, it was advocated social and this political empowerment through what they called a Chicanismo, or this cultural nationalism. And there's a famous poem in the late 60s titled La Raza, Mexicano, Español, Latino, Chicano, whatever I call myself, I look the same. And the activist Rudolfo Corky Gonzalez declared that in a poem. And I think the beauty of seeing our brothers and sisters in the 60s was, here are these, you know, Mexicanos, these Mexican Americans that endured so much discrimination in the West, speaking of the United States, that after this Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, it put an end to the Mexican-American War of, I think it was 1848. So those Mexicanos who chose to remain in the territory, they basically ceded to the U.S. where they were promised citizenship. And I quote this, kind of like the right to like property and language and culture, but it didn't happen like that. And I think what was crazy is that then we start going into later on and what they call throughout the early 20th century, and muchos de nuestros Mexicanos Americanos, they tried to assimilate, but they couldn't. So they tried adopting this Chicano, you know, and they looked to the activists to be able to really seek it. And there's a couple people that come to mind, and is none other than that of Dolores Huerta and Cesar Chavez. And these were these two people that co-founded what they called the National Farm Workers Association, which later became the United Farm Workers, the UFW, specifically here in California. For what? To be able to fight for improved social and economic conditions. Yo, Chavez, who was born a Mexican-American migrant farm worker family, he experienced all these grueling conditions firsthand of being someone that worked out in the farm. So here we are, and we see the movement organized called the Agricultural Workers Organization Committee, or the AWOC. And I'm giving you guys a little history lesson, but I'm trying to set this up for y'all, because it was here where we see the importance that there has to be movimiento as we continue to push forward, como Latino and Latina, that we be able to continue to go forward as people, as a Spanish-speaking culture, and how do we not assimilate? Better yet, how do we bring the beauty, and as my people say in Puerto Rico, el sazón, the flavor, to all that we do? For all of you that are professionals, that are entrepreneurs, for those that are maybe in college and they're navigating the next journey in their life, that's what it's all about. And I have to quote this because it's been said, we are men and women who have suffered and endured much, and not only because of our abject poverty, but because we have been kept poor. And that was Cesar Chavez. He wrote that in a letter from Delano. He goes on to say, quote, "The color of our skins, the languages of our culture and native origins, the lack of formal education, the exclusion from the democratic process, the numbers of our slain in the recent wars, all these burdens, generation after generation, have sought to demoralize us. And we are not agricultural implements or rented slaves. We are men." End quote. Señoras, señores, get ready for this episode as we talk about the importance of both our Latinos and Latinas and that movimiento. Just like Dolores Huerta and Cesar Chavez did, and so many in the 60s and 70s, even today in 2022, seguimos el movimiento. And here's the beauty of it. As the intro music is here in the background, we've been hearing it. Here's the beauty of it. We have a movement like none other in this generation. And the beauty is that our children are seeing, many of us that maybe don't have families yet, or many of us that are parents, we have the opportunity to either, one, open these new doors for the first time, or two, continually guiding our people in areas that we've navigated already. That's what we're talking about in this episode. El Movimiento. Let's go. Yo, 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 welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Look, I know that was a really long intro. I think it was the longest intro I ever gave, but it was necessary because of the fact that I think when we think about movement and movimiento within the Latino community, and more importantly, just the economic concept, it's just unreal. Some of the staggering numbers, you know, I had the opportunity, as many may or may not know, to attend what's called Latitude. And Latitude is literally this amazing event where it's all of us that comes together to understand what, as they call, accelerating the impact in the new mainstream economy. And Sol Trujillo, I think he did a great job in really speaking to that. And I think what was really dope of understanding was one of the things that stood out to me, and there were so many different things, but I think for me is understanding, and I think there was even articles on this, that the Latino economic output would rank fifth. Check this out. Would rank fifth in the world GDP, according to this new study. And it says, quote, "We're talking about not just population growth and workforce growth, but also economic growth." And that's Sor Trujillo of the Latino Donor Collaborative who said that. And I think it's true. I think we need to understand, you know, why Sol Trujillo's, as he would say, Latitude Ventures sees the Latino-owned businesses as a growth market. And I think for me, as, you know, they, you know, and it's just dope because even like Emilio Estevan, he was urging Latinos to be able to embrace their identities. And I think that was something that was huge for me. That was something that I really feel passionate about. Like, if you know me, you know that I'm all about being genuinely yourself, authentically you, and being relational. And if we're gonna do this, we need to understand that our country, grateful for the men and women of the work that they've done, but even for many of my Latinos and Latinas listening, that your parents' parents did a lot of the work. And I think what's unreal though in this movimiento is that, how do we create this movement? How do we understand the importance of you owning who you are? And maybe you're not a Latino Latina. Maybe you identify differently, right? Black, white, Asian, whatever that looks like. Think about the impact that you can make. What is the movimiento that you can bring? What is something that you've done within your community, in your family, and in the workplace? I think the beauty of understanding when we're looking at numbers and when we're looking at articles, we know that Latinos are the fastest growing segment of the U.S. population. We know that even though that is a good thing for many Latinos, we also know that to be an entrepreneur that identifies, you know, de nuestra Latinidad is one of the most difficult times of any cohort in the U.S. to really be able to what? Tener dinero, have the access of capital. And Sol Trujillo, he really, you know, being this, you know, venture founder and general partner, he understood that there is this clear disconnection between the growing Latino population and the attention that is paid to those that is trying to start a business. And what's crazy, and this is an article that I read in Yahoo, is that the Latino population has grown 23% overall in the past decade, outpacing the nation's 7% overall population growth. And that was according to the Pew Research. So while money going to Latino founders has barely increased, though, over the past 5 years. So I think we need to understand, for all of my entrepreneurs there, I feel you. I understand. But I also hope that you find the beauty in telling your story. I also hope you find the beauty in, you know, siguiendo el movimiento of what you're doing. Because a Latino-led business, our businesses are the greatest source of growth in the U.S. And I think for me, when we understand that, and again, like you guys, I would highly recommend you guys check out, you know, a lot of these, just the research that's out there. I think it's going to really help you to understand that we need to move. You know, that if we want to lose weight, we have to move. But we also have to eat better. We also have to make sure we drink plenty of water. And we also got to make sure that we get plenty of rest. Where are you in your movement? Are you moving? Are you ensuring you're finding rest? Are you ensuring that you're eating healthy? Are you making sure you're staying hydrated properly? I think all of those segments and areas will really showcase where we are and how we can continually keep going in this movimiento. And I really hope that, more importantly, we understand that, yo, it can be done. It has been done. But we also got to keep continuing to move forward. And in this season and in this episode, it's really, I hope, to get you to understand a little bit of the stories that I've said earlier, to maybe spark or remind you or maybe renew that movimiento, that spirit, that you can do great things. I think one of the most beautiful things in this world is when we answer to God's calling in the gift that we've been given. So what is your gift? What is your talent? How are you making the movement? How are you assessing the different areas? If you need to physically move more, if you need to rest, or if you need to, whatever that looks like. I think that's the beauty of this movimiento. And as we understand that, I think this last little segment that I would like to share is really understanding the importance of really, really moving and pushing the needle. Catch you on the other side. As we're closing this out, you know, when I think of movimiento and I'm looking at history, I think I speak from a place of being here in California, because it was really the 1960s of this movimiento where things were changing in America. The civil rights movement was in full swing. The people of color were starting to demand our rights. And here it is, the Chicano movement was born out of this struggle. As Mexican Americans fought back against the racism and the oppression that they face in labor, Chicanos embraced this new identity in this nation with pride, and they started to organize and mobilize to be able to raise awareness about their situaciones. And a big shout out to Dolores Huerta and Cesar Chavez. They knew that they had to defy the U.S. society in order to claim what was theirs. They worked together, which I would love to see this, you know, and maybe it's just a matter of doing more tarea, more homework, that they worked together with our Black brothers and sisters in that movement of theirs, because there was so many common goals and so many common experiences. See, the Chicano movement was made great strides over the years and eventually gained the recognition and respect from the mainstream America. The beauty is that that movimiento, Chicanos continue to fight. They continue to fight for equality, for justice today. I mean, just the fact of Mariachi Square here in Los Angeles, California, has been so many hot takes, as they say, because, you know, we see people that want to come in and to be able to change things. But I think the beauty of it was, when I look at history and I look at the Chicano movement, I look at something was to, one, regain this political empowerment and civil rights so that the U.S. government and the people would start to be able to see them as equals. What's even more is that they took the racial slur Chicano and turned it into an identity that they wore with pride. And I think, you know, when I think about just big picture moments, is that they fought for the farm workers' rights. They reclaimed the land that was theirs. And I mean, man, it's so much, man. You know, being a Dodger fan and listening to the Chavez Ravine story in the stadium, I think maybe that's another conversation for another day. But even that, like, it's so hard to embrace knowing the game, but knowing what was done. I think the bigger thing that I loved about this movimiento was it wasn't just about the workers, but it was about education. It was about student movements that was initiated in 1969 with the National Youth and Liberation Conference in Denver, Colorado, which I referenced earlier to the poem of Rodolfo Corky Gonzalez. And I think for me, this was beautiful because of the fact that they understood the importance. And yo, like, I know that I kind of probably keep saying, but remember, this movement was about the Chicana empowerment. That the Latinas understood that they had a voice and a presence that ensured the inclusion of women's rights. And I think for me, when we think about this, like, it was just unreal. But I think the beauty is that these Chicana groups raised awareness and honestly really was trying to seek the empowerment. And so many dynamics that we see in this. The beauty of it was, from a journalistic perspective, I thought it was pretty dope that the Chicano press was created, you know, back in the day, because the press could be the game changer. And we saw Chicano students launch their own newspaper, spread their own awareness, calling for unity. And there was, they say, I want to say more than 200, you know, newspapers were all created and all going back to that movimiento. I think at the end of the day, the question that I ask, and we should ask, and as we're journeying through life and we're making the changes that we make, I ask myself, was this Chicano movement, like, did it win? Was it successful? Well, I think we still see the results today. The Chicanos constitute the largest minority in the U.S., and the rest of the country cannot deny the amazing influence that has been brought because of that, as well as introducing the importance of voting. But looking forward, I think, when I think about it, like, me being very logistical and, you know, and I like things set up in a certain way, they were so organized. I think, like, what we see in their past triumphs and even their opportunities of where they failed, it really continued to inspire younger generations, specifically here in California, our Mexican Americans, as well as, like, civil rights activists around the world. I think that that's something that I really like, I don't want to go off topic, but when I think about our brown and black brothers and sisters who made the civil rights movement, one thing we cannot deny, logistics were the key success to many of these things and moments. If you didn't have a plan, you planned to fail. We've heard the saying. So I think for me, as there's so many things that I can share, the number one thing I hope that we understand is that looking at a small part of our history, that this Chicano movement was exactly that, un movimiento, that has continued generations. And my hope is that it can inspire us to look at history, inspire us to see where we can better ourselves, but more importantly, how do we inspire people to action? So it doesn't matter the work that you're in. The most important thing I hope is that you're constantly bringing somebody with you, and that they may be inspired by your story, and that they also can look back at history, because it's good. It's good to look back, and sometimes it's not all pretty. There's mistakes along the way. But the important point here is we're making progress. And I think we can close it out like that. Ladies and gentlemen, muchas gracias once again to listen to another episode here at Fuel Pasión Podcast, where we immerse ourselves dentro de la cultura, where we grow in our faith, and where we always make the conexiones. Hey, if you guys haven't had the opportunity, we hope you can, you know, follow us on all podcast platforms, wherever you like, donde tú quieras. More importantly, we hope maybe you subscribe and follow us on YouTube. I hope maybe you can join the Patreon familia. And yeah, man, it's a good time to be a Latino, Latina, anywhere in the world. And I hope for our brothers and sisters that they call themselves allies, or maybe just neighbors or friends or our co-workers, we want to say thank you for letting us be authentically ourselves, because I think that goes a long way in building these conexiones. I hope you guys can check us out at FuelPasiónPodcast.com for all of the latest stuff that's going on. And we hope you guys get to enjoy the rest of season 5. El Movimiento is here to stay. Como dice mi abuelita, que Dios te bendiga.